Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk framework products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we have a very, 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 very special show for you today.
Wow.
We've got
someone special on the show who's going to be speaking in ASI Dallas. He is an American entrepreneur and author, is best known for co-founding Twitter. Wow, I'm not really talking well today.
Been off
Who is it?
All right?
Rick Perry.
Any other guesses?
Rick Perry. He's from Texas.
God. I'm guessing.
Andy.
Biz Stone.
Biz Stone is on the line. We're going to talk to him.
I'm done playing games.
In just a little bit. He's been named Entrepreneur of the Decade. Of the Decade, not of the Year.
Wow.
Which magazine? We'll have to ask him. He's one of the most influential people in the world, according to Time Magazine, and he's been voted Nerd of the Year by GQ.
Oh, that's an honor.
Joe Sellers on that one.
Biz Stone is on the line. We're going to talk to him in just a little bit. We're very excited about that. Of course, we've got most of our cast of characters here. Kathy Houston is here with the new do. Kath, why don't you describe it to us?
I
would say shorter and sassier.
It's not dyed. It's my naturally brunette color, Joe.
Andy Cohn has no hair today.
As always,
no hair every day.
Stubble. He's in need of a haircut.
Barely stubble.
Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor is here. I know you're getting a lot of good products together.
Absolutely.
That we are going to feature. Hopefully, we can get some media attention for in ASI Orlando next week.
We're hoping.
What's a cool product that you see out there this week?
There's these spiral-bound notebooks made out of stones. Hey, how about that? We got Biz Stone
A theme.
They're actually made out of stone, so there's no processing that it uses bleach, and it's biodegradable, and it's recyclable, and it's cool. It's very eco-friendly, and I think they're going to be a big hit, and you can actually write on it with a key.
Wow.
You don't need a pen.
That's
but,
cool.
But, I mean, use a pen, but if you didn't have a pen there, you had to make a note. You know.
That really confused me.
Wow. Well, Michelle Bell visiting PSI Dusseldorf this week. I'm sure we'll have a report from her next week. Nicole Rowlander is here. Nicole, you'll be going to Orlando, too. I know that you're excited about our education lineup. What's one of the highlights for next week for education?
We have an all-new sales track, Million Dollar Sales, with some really, really key sessions. We have a really cool listening session. We're going to actually...
You can test your listening
skills. It's going to be a lot of fun, but you're going to learn a lot.
So that is Education Day in Orlando next week. For information on that, go to asishow.com. Rooster's manning our tech booth. Vinny's going to be answering our calls today if you want to call us later in the segment. Call us at 215-953-4979. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, we have the four rules to build your blog readership. Seven ways to make your customers love you, Kathy. She'll let you know what those are. Will the U.S. ever become a paperless society, Andy? What do you say?
No.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
Captain Killjoy.
Nicole's going to let us know.
I'm going to let you know.
But Andy does have tips to avoid a cash crisis in your business. Try to say that five times fast, Kathy.
Cash crisis, forget.
Okay, see, she already failed. We have our favorite things, some other topics we might want to get to as well, but let's start it all off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy, go.
Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with good news for the general economy. The unemployment rate dropped to a three-year low of 8.5% in December after the Labor Department reported that payrolls grew by 200,000 jobs last month. The result outpaced analyst expectations by about 50,000 jobs. On to industry financial news now. Top 40 supplier American Apparel announced last week that it increased its sales in December by 15%. The company said its wholesale business in the period jumped by 25%, while retail sales grew by 12%. CEO Dov Charney says he expects his company to build on the sales increases in 2012. Merger news now. Top 40 distributor The Vernon Company has merged operations with Hawaii-based firm Marketing Connections. Marketing Connections owner Mike Wells and his eight employees will now be joining Vernon while also maintaining their own brand identity. Plus, make sure to join Counselor for a live online chat this afternoon. We're talking social networking and how to succeed with LinkedIn. Wondering how to get sales leads through LinkedIn? Go to asicentral.com/counselorchat today at 2 p.m. Eastern Time to ask our experts any questions. And finally, of course, check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what is hot today?
Hey, we're chilling out with new products, including two different coolers, one made out of recyclable material, which actually is recyclable itself, and one that you actually freeze. You freeze the whole cooler to keep your beverages cold.
Seeing a trend here. Joe's going very eco-friendly. Or eco.
Eco.
Eco?
Eco, Joe.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Wow. It looks like it's a social media day. We've got Twitter this morning.
LinkedIn.
Some LinkedIn chats this afternoon. Well, let's not delay. We have Biz Stone, co-founder of Twitter, on the phone. We're very excited. He's going to be speaking at ASI Dallas on Friday, February 3rd. Good morning, Biz.
Good morning, Melinda. Thanks, everybody, for inviting me.
You're welcome. We're so happy to have you here today.
I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be linked with the introduction of Stone Tablets.
There you go.
We did that on purpose just for you.
That's right.
The
thinking.
New big thing. Forget the iPad. We're going Stone Tablets.
We go backwards.
Like the Flintstones.
Yeah. All right, Biz. Why don't we start by you talking a little bit about the inspiration behind Twitter?
Sure. Well, you know, there's three founders. There's three of us. So I think our inspirations might be all a little bit different. But for me and probably for Evan Williams, our other founder, we've been working already for many years on just the idea that the open exchange of information will have a positive impact on the world. We were working on a project called Blogger. That was one of the first blogging tools. And when SMS came out, I guess SMS is really the inspiration for me because it started to really get popular in the United States. It had been in Europe. And I saw this rudimentary tool, and I thought, could I build something on this system that sort of in the line of my work, instead of one-to-one, you know, one-to-many? And that was the beginning, and I think Ev had a similar view. I don't want to put words into his mouth. And then Jack has said that he's always been interested in just the way cities work, the idea that there's a lot of people roaming around the city, and you'd be able to sort of see what everyone was saying.
So, Biz, a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs, just like yourself, and they try to learn from others' mistakes. So what are some mistakes that you could share with our audience that you made early on that you think were helpful to learn from?
I think that question would be better phrased as, what mistakes did you not make? But you know, there's plenty of mistakes. I mean, there's mistakes before, big mistakes before Twitter, for sure. I started a company in 1999, and my biggest mistake there is when the culture that we created originally started to go awry, I quit. And what I should have done is worked harder to change that culture into the one that I wanted to see us evolve. So that was a mistake. But at Twitter, you know, there's just so many mistakes we made, you know. And I think the two biggest ones were one, we didn't assume that we would be successful. So when we weren't ready for it. And two, just we didn't communicate enough. We thought we were. But I think the trick is you need to just over-communicate to the point of absurdity if you really want to know what's going on with each other and have a connection to the outside world, customers, investors, et cetera. You really just have to go crazy doing it.
Now, Biz, you said you didn't think you were going to be successful. What was the first indication that maybe you were wrong about that and Twitter was going to be successful?
Well, at first we were just having fun with it, and we loved it. And everyone was telling us it was just a total waste of time and it was not useful. And that didn't matter to us. We didn't even really notice it because we were having so much fun with it. But the first indication was really this conference we went to in 2006 called South by Southwest that happens every year in Austin. And it's a music festival and a film festival, but just before that, a bunch of dorks go there and talk about interactive media and the internet and so forth. And what happened was there was enough people on our system by that point and the right people that we were able to sort of see it in the wild. And the one thing that basically happened was, well, there are a few things, but one, just to keep the story short, was there was a guy at a bar and he said, this bar is too crowded and loud and I want to be able to kind of network with others, so let's head over to this other bar. And he sent out a tweet, and in the 8 minutes it took him to walk to that bar, it had filled the capacity with the line out the door, so his plan totally backfired. But what it made me realize was that he had done something that I think heretofore had never been done, which was he had organized a group of people on the fly to move together as one to a specific location, almost as if, you know, we suddenly had the flocking ability of birds moving around an object in flight. And I just I couldn't think of any kind of technology that humans had access to that allowed them to do that so simply. So that was a real trigger, and to that we had sort of stumbled into a new form of communication that could be very important. I mean, that was a party, but what if it had been a disaster or something serious?
Yeah, that's a fantastic example of how many people are actually using Twitter. So kind of following on that, I mean, you know that when Twitter is having technical difficulties, the famed fail whale shows up, which people enjoy. I mean, when I see it occasionally, I love it. I kind of smile. So how did you decide to turn a business challenge into something that's whimsical and fun?
Well, that's just something. I started out as an artist, and then I think of myself as a technologist and a business person next. So when we had to take the site down intentionally one time, and so I wanted to find an image that was fun and evocative of a bunch of people working on a tough job together, and I found this image of a lot of little birds lifting up a big whale, and I said, oh, this will do, and then we just left it, you know, every time the site went down, and it sort of became famous because the site went down a lot, and it's funny because Evan later pointed out, you know, the birds are all flying in different directions. And I thought that was sort of fitting.
All right, Biz, it's Joe here. What do you envision the blogosphere looking like in 2 years?
Well, I think the blogosphere is changing, you know, just fundamentally. I mean, the idea of a blog is now, I think you can expand that definition. I think you can say, you know, that social network pages, really any kind of page created on the internet from a text message or a tweet or a Instagram or really anything suddenly becomes, you know, I think part of the blogosphere. So I guess the answer to that question is I see the blogosphere not only expanding at a rapid rate, but becoming much more varietous. So it'll be bigger and more interesting. And I think we'll be able to get a lot more out of it because of that.
Hey, Biz, it's Kathy. I have two questions. First of all, is that your real name?
Unfortunately, it's what I'm stuck with, and it's my own fault. My full name is Christopher Isaac Stone, and when I was a little kid, I said Bizzerber instead of Christopher. And my parents thought that was funny, so they called me Biz. And then I had a birthday party in third grade, and George Donovan heard my mom call me that, and it was just over from that point
on.
That's
George Donovan. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great story. Secondly, on a more serious note, how do you manage creative people effectively?
Oh, well, yeah, that's a... I think the key to managing creative people is to lead with something positive and follow up with something, follow up with suggestions. I think creative people, just by nature, by their very nature, are more sensitive. And so if you lead with a criticism right off the bat, I think that ends up crushing their spirit, and you're not going to get the full potential out of them. Whereas if you lead with something, there's always something in the project that's worth commendation. You know, I think I think the color you selected is really great, but have you tried a different this, that, this? Mm-hmm. You know, you can have 10 other things. But as long as you lead with something so that they feel like at least they're on the right track and give them hope for unlocking their full potential, I think that's really a key thing. And then helping them grow into the person that they want to be professionally over time.
Yeah, that's great advice.
Yeah, then this is a little bit related to that. You had said that one of the first businesses you worked for, you didn't like the culture. What type of culture do you like to promote in your workplaces?
You know, varied, but I like it to be fun, and I like it to be, you know, very sort of team-oriented. I like people to have autonomy. I like it to be really creative, and I like ideas to be, I like us all to be very open to ideas, and, you know, I don't like people to say no right away to anything. I like them to assume that their coworkers are all smart and that they all have good intentions. And just because you don't know someone very well doesn't mean that they're, I mean, this is just human nature. You don't know someone. You have a natural kind of anxiety toward that person. So you, you tend to sort of dislike them and dislike their ideas. And I think that's fine because I think that's in human nature. But I think we need to force ourselves to assume that everyone we work with went through the same rigorous, you know, sort of hiring schedule and agenda that you did, and that you have to assume everyone's smart and has good intentions. So, you know, and my idea, getting back to that first company, I just wanted to create a very creative engineering culture. And what happened was it started turning into a very typical kind of salesy consultancy culture. And I knew that had to come at some point, but not at the expense of the culture that we had created for the first year, because that culture was going to be the one that was going to keep us creative and innovative for many years. And, you know, I corrected that at Twitter, because at Twitter we have a very fast-growing sales culture, but they're also very open to new crazy ideas and a lot of fun. So it can be done. It just has to... You have to pay attention to a culture because it's an emergent phenomenon. It'll happen whether you pay attention to it or not. And so it could happen and it could turn into something bad, or you can, you know, take a hand in it early and guide it towards something wonderful.
What's one of the most fun things you've done in the office?
Well, we have a lot of fun in the office, but we would never, and I have a new startup now called Obvious, we've never been the typical, like, hey, let's play foosball or whatever. We even tried. We even got a few big arcade games and a bunch of, like, Xbox-type things, and they just sat there and collected dust. It turns out people really have the most fun when they are super happily engaged in their ideas. We've taken the whole office to Las Vegas. I think some of the most fun things that we've done in the past are when people like Will.i.am or President Medvedev have stopped by the office, because it's just such a surreal thing to have, you know, the president of Russia coming in saying, I came here to tweet, and you just want to say, you know, you could have tweeted from Moscow. You didn't really have to come in here with your dogs and your security guys just to tweet, but that's cool.
So, Biz, as a leader of various companies, is there a mantra or sort of a mission that you try to run your businesses with?
There's a lot of them, but I think chief for me is the idea that humor really is just such a powerful mechanism for delivering truth. You know, it's a great leadership tool. It's a great way to break the ice. It's a great way to get people to tell you what they're really thinking about without it feeling very formal and scary. And so I encourage people to have fun, joke around. And invariably, something true comes out of that. Even if you're having an idea session, I encourage people to say something that just makes absolutely no sense. Like, okay, let's assume there's no gravity. Okay, fine, there's no gravity. What? You know, and then because someone else is sitting in the room and they say, wait a minute, part of that resonates with me. What if we did this? So I guess one of my top things would be, you know, just laugh, have fun, and keep a sense of humor about the overall business, even if the tools you're building are being used for incredibly important things around the world. You want to keep that healthy sense of humor.
Biz, we all have mentors or people we want to emulate. Which business or cultural leaders do you look up to?
You know, it's funny for me because I guess I've decided that I'm only going to look up to people who I actually know. So even though it sounds a little cheesy, my sort of heroes are those that I've worked with: Evan Williams, Jack Dorsey, an art director I worked with many years ago and remain friendly with, Steve Snyder. I feel like I'm constantly learning from these guys as I work with them. And I feel like if I were to choose, you know, some business luminary as someone to emulate, because I don't really know them, I'd just be projecting. And I would just be imagining what they're really like day to day, and so I wouldn't actually be picking anything up. So I actually, I guess, made a conscious decision a while ago that I would try to emulate those people I actually work with where I can really take something away.
Well, that's fair. Now, this next and last question is one that we tossed around a little right before the show started. And that is, it's very important. If the movie of the genesis of Twitter was made, who should play you? What actor would you pick? And if you want, we could tell you who we picked for you, too.
Well, first of all, I don't think it would be a movie. I think it would be like a bad series on CW.
Okay.
It would last a season, and it would just be everyone would forget about it. But I bumped once into the guy on The Office, who everybody hates, and he was like, hey, I could play you.
Dwight?
Yeah, this guy. He wants to play me in the movie.
Oh, that's so funny.
But I have no idea. Like, I really, like, you know, who did you guys
pick? We could tell you who we picked, and then you can pick one of those. So yeah. I said James Spader, who's also now on The Office. And,
James Spader, right.
Yeah, I mean, you're a little younger than he is, but you have, like, kind of
similar.
A
similar look there.
And he's, like, got a funny sense of humor, which you seem to have. But, Andy, who did you pick?
Well, I echoed James Spader.
Oh, okay.
I think Joe and Kathy and Nicole said different.
I said Brad Pitt.
Brad.
Well, that's what guys go, Brad Pitt.
He's trying to butter you up.
I say Justin Timberlake.
Ooh, Justin Timberlake. He is very funny as well.
Mm-hmm. And I said Edward Norton.
Ed Norton.
Mm-hmm. He's good.
All right, so what do you...
You have to gain a little weight, I think. But that's
So which one do you choose out of those?
What was the first one again?
James Spader.
Spader, Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I think Spader or Norton would work.
Okay.
Although, isn't Spader kind of like a bad guy? Or I don't know.
Well, we heard you are, too.
He sometimes plays sort of funny but evil characters, but I think he's a good actor. and he comes off as being smart, which is good.
That'd work. Or we could mix things up and just make it Bill Cosby.
Perfect. All right. Well, we are so happy. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us this morning. And, of course, we're going to look forward to meeting you on Friday, February 3rd at ASI Dallas. Thanks again, Biz, and have a great day.
Thank you, guys. I look forward to seeing you all, too.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that was Biz Stone. Wow, what an interesting
character. That was great.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's going to have some great advice for everyone in Dallas, and I'm sure some more great stories about Twitter and its beginnings, and also how people can leverage social networking for themselves.
That's
going to
be an awesome keynote.
Yeah,
I can't
wait.
I'm really looking
He's an interesting
that.
Guy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I love what he said about culture and humor mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. just not taking yourself so damn seriously.
Right.
You know, I mean, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, Captain Killjoy.
I don't.
Take it down on that.
Absolutely. And how cool would it be? I mean, you know, actually, we should do this. We should invite, like, Will.i.am to come in and just,
and Fergie,
you know,
Ferg.
Check.
Or how about,
check it out.
Did you just say Fergie Ferg?
Yeah, the Black Eyed Peas.
I know who it is.
Do you? You know, the president of Russia could come in and check out our, you know,
or maybe we'll get William
staff.
And Kate instead.
Well, wasn't Justin Guarini Wells? Here? I mean, he was here.
Justin Guarini
yeah.
was here because he had,
he's not
he
exactly
representing a product
state.
You might want to explain who that is.
Justin Guarini was the runner-up in the first American Idol.
Yes.
Very
Andy.
Famous. Yes. Very, very
Andy.
Famous.
Yeah.
I know who he is.
So
anyway.
You know. But I'm not sure most in the world do.
Hear more from Biz Stone at ASI Dallas. If you haven't registered, go to asishow.com right now. Again, he's going to be keynoting Friday, February 3rd, 8 a.m. So come out and meet him. He's going to be fantastic.
Bright and early.
All right. yeah, we have just a few more minutes. If anyone wants to call and tell us what they thought of Biz, give us a call, 215-953-4979. And in the meantime, it looks like since we're talking about social networking, Joe is going to give us some rules to build your blog readership. Maybe.
Change your glasses, Joe.
I take my glasses off because I left my reading glasses back at the office. So I'm going to put this right up to my face.
Seriously.
Okay, here's four rules to build your blog readership.
You know, you can get some at CVS.
I can't.
For
my
like
eyes
99.
Are that. No, I have to have a prescription.
He's a special case.
Yeah, those aren't powerful enough.
Oh my God.
All right, old man Haley, give us your blogging rules.
All right, here you go. You need to email or send newsletter reminders. Everyone's laughing at me. Quite often, if you change your blog all the time, you want to make sure that people read it. So make it easy on them. Rather than having to check every week, every other week, whatever, send them an email reminder. Put it in an e-newsletter. Let them know that the content has changed because you want them to come back. All right. Rule number two, create an RSS feed. Does everyone know what an RSS feed is?
Yeah.
Joe.
Duh.
Well, you provide that for them, the opportunity to do that, and again, it makes it easier for them to come back for changing content. Sharing tools, provide sharing tools on the blog as well, so they can share it with other people, and that will help build the relationship or the readership. And the last tool, and I'm going through these very quickly, but we'll post everything on our website. Update all your communications at once. They have tools out there where you can update your Twitter, your Facebook, your LinkedIn, anything where you're going to update to say that there's new blog posting. You can update that all at once. So everyone, however they communicate with you, whether it's through Facebook or Twitter or emails or whatever, they'll get it all at once. So again, that will help spread the readership. But we're going to post this later on today on asicentral.com/radio.
All right. Kathy.
Uh-huh.
You have some ways to make your customers love you. What are they?
Well, first of all, never assume that you know what your customers want. Sometimes you think that you do, but what if you're wrong?
Then
bad news.
Yeah, absolutely.
What if you're wrong? Yeah.
Exactly. We've talked about this before, following up, asking for feedback, doing follow-up surveys after each order, and also, you know, just doing surveys to find your target markets, too, and deliver what they want. Always deliver on that note. To win customers, you need to deliver on time, every time, and if a problem arises, you have to be honest and upfront and keep following up with them until it's totally resolved. Also, this sounds obvious, but say thank you. Because think about it. When's the last time you received a thank you from somebody you did business with? It's sort of rare. So that actually helps you stand out.
And handwritten Makes note sense. Would be nice.
A handwritten note, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or a visit from Will.i.am.
Sorry, I just can't. Or Medvedev. How do you say that?
Or the president of Russia as well.
That's right.
With his dogs.
And also on keeping with what Joe said, stay connected. While the frequency may vary, every customer should receive, you know, some kind of touch off online, e-newsletters, or handwritten notes, things like that, follow-up surveys, whatever. Just stay connected. There's so many ways, especially with Twitter these days.
Yeah.
There are. All right, Kathy, you're going to put these tips up on our website, asicentral.com/radio. Speaking of customers, Nicole. Kathy's telling how to get customers to love you. What are some ways that companies get customer loyalty wrong?
All right, I'll tell you two quick ways. First, not respecting existing customers. This means that you're more focused on acquiring new customers than keeping existing ones.
So, I hate that.
Yeah,
that happens a lot.
It does.
People get stuck in that.
Well, you know what's a good example of that? When you're, you know, a cable customer and you see these great new rates for new customers, but then you can't get them as an existing customer.
That's annoying.
So what you should do...
Cancel and then start again. No.
Right, except that if you break your contract, it's like $350 or whatever. But what
sometimes
you should...
you can call them and negotiate a better...
That's
but
true.
That's a pain to have to do that every month or every time your special runs out. So what you should do is create special programs for prospects and customers so they feel, you know, equally important. Another quick thing is rewarding spenders but not senders. So that means that you reward your customers based on how much they spend and you discount customers who might not spend as much but instead provide rave reviews about your company and sends lots of referrals your way. So these customers are also critical to your success, so you should find a way to reward them as well.
That makes sense.
Well, thank you very much, Nicole. We'll put more of these tips online, asicentral.com/radio. We have just enough time for our favorite things, where our editors talk about their favorite products of the week. Joe, I know you're really hot on the product that you have in your little hand, so tell us about
this. This is called the Pod Light, and you turn it on, and you see there's four directional lights.
That's bright.
There. It is pretty bright. Yeah. You stick it in a purse, you stick it in your locker, your gym locker, whatever, someplace, a dark place, and the light's going to go off. When you open your purse, it automatically lights up. So it helps.
It lights up automatically?
It automatically lights
up.
How
does it know that your purse is open?
Is it a movement detector?
No, because of the
motion?
Light.
Oh,
the light.
Light detector. Okay.
When it's dark and then...
Let Joe speak.
Go ahead. Anyway, oh, you just gave me a really dirty look.
I think it would be fantastic for you, Melinda, to find things in that purse of yours.
I can never find anything, especially my keys in the dark. You're right.
Right. So you can actually attach your keys, a little split key ring on there. So it can work for a number of different clients. This one has the U.S. Army on there, targeting anyone from men who can put it in their toolbox, women for their purses, school kids for their lockers. There's a lot of different applications. And this is from Tanzini.
Why are you looking at me?
Tad Zenith's. Because they're actually located in Tuckahoe, New York.
Get out.
Oh, ASI, wow.
ASI 90557. And that's Tadzini.com.
Is that really true?
Right there.
All right. Pictures of all these products are online. Andy, what's your product?
That's shocking. Joe just shocked me. I do a lot of driving.
You do?
Far to get to here.
Tuckahoe to Trinidad.
So mine is an accident kit that every driver should have in their car. It comes from Digital Packaging, Inc., and that is ASI 49727. Very cool product for a lot of on-the-road promotions.
Kathy, what's your favorite product of the week?
Well, mine is right in time for Valentine's Day. It's the romance kit from Admins
in the air.
And right. Zagabor.
What's in there? What's in that romance kit?
Well, let me tell you. It's from Admins and Zagabor, ASI 31516, and it includes, let's see, what does it include? A heart tin soy candle, premium Eco cherry lip balm to keep your lips kissably soft. And mints, of course, because you want to have fresh breath. And this would not only be great for Valentine's Day, but for resort pillow gifts, you know, honeymooners and things like that.
All right. Nicole, what's your product of the week?
So everyone knows I don't wear T-shirts, but when it's a T-shirt, not a T-shirt, when it's a shirt dress. So there's this really cool item from...
Oh, my God.
From U.S. Blank.
You thought I could use
dress.
A shirt dress is a longer T-shirt that has cool ruching around the middle.
Ruching.
And you can wear it with leggings or jeans. And this one is from U.S. Blank's ASI 92423. And it's really comfortable, but it's also got some cutting edge decoration options, some stuff on the collar. So I recommend checking it out.
Maybe you'll wear it at ASI Orlando
next week. I'm thinking about it.
Week.
Well, look at this picture here. This is kind of cool. Look at this.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. You can see pictures of all those products on our site.
I'd be shocked if we see you in a shirt dress. But,
hey.
But go for it.
You
check
never
out
know.
These products at asicentral.com/radio. We are out of time today. We want to thank our listeners, and we especially want to thank Twitter co-founder Biz Stone for calling in. Check us out next week. We will be giving a report from ASI Orlando, where James Carville and Bill O'Reilly will be sharing the stage in a very explosive keynote. So
explosive.
Check it out, asishow.com. Have a great week, everyone.